Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. Good to see you. Pretty day, isn't it? Great day to gather up and worship the Lord. Good to have you today. Before we begin worship, let's look at a few announcements. They're listed. Mondays 9 to 12, the Ladies Auxiliary Quilt Project. This is a project to help support the veterans. Everyone is invited to come and help with that. April the 7th, which is today at 5, our official board meeting will meet. April the 11th on Thursday at 10 o'clock is Bible study. And as information, next Sunday we'll observe communion and morning worship. And at 5 p.m. will be the quarterly business session. See the choir practice on Wednesday the 17th at 6:30. Have a wedding shower coming up for Zach Jenkins and Kim Chapman. That'll be 2 to 4 on the 20th in the fellowship building. Ladies Auxiliary meet the 21st at 4 p.m. The deacons will meet the 23rd at 6. Do we have any other announcements? Okay, let's begin worship. Take your bulletin. Let's read together the responsive reading. The stone has been rolled away.
The grave clothes are lying in a heap.
The body is gone.
Mary's weeping is haunted by a man's questions.
Why are you crying?
Who is it you are looking for?
Let us proclaim with Mary.
We have seen the risen Lord.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Let us worship the living Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Father, we are so grateful that we can come here today and worship our living Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We are so thankful that you're here with us. We pray your Spirit will anoint us and move us in the direction you would have us go. Help us to be the kingdom people that you created. As we worship this morning, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Remain standing and turn to 7:30 in our hymnals. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 4 of Stand Up for Jesus.
Time is royal manner.
may be seated. Mr. Heath McLaughlin has our scriptures this morning.
The Old Testament reading comes from Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. The New Testament reading comes from Acts 4:32-35. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to that time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
continue to worship as we pray. Do we have any needs we need to remember this morning?
Alan Moody.
Alan Moody, okay.
Gary Hick.
Ma'am?
Gary Hick.
Gary Hick, okay.
Dana Faulkner Milligan, Deborah Bundy, and Kirby Page.
I
got a list.
You got a list, okay. Any others? Remember those needs listed on the back of the bulletin? I would make note, too, there's a note there that says if any changes need to be made, see Selena. So if you have requests on there and the need's been met, we can let her know and she can take those off. Let's remember these needs, our nation, the world, and just seek God on behalf of these requests and one another, thanking God for all his blessings. Let us pray.
I'll turn to hymn number 512 in our hymnals. Stand and sing verses 1, 2, and 4 of Jesus is All the World to Me.
Jesus is my love.
gather here today right now to give back to you a portion of that which you give us every day, every minute, every night. Thank you enough. Please accept these gifts and bless them. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
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 The doxology, please. Be seated. Our scripture text today comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. And we'll get there in a minute. Our thought is it's just beginning. There's a survey I read that said most Americans believe that America's going in the wrong direction and that she's about washed up, she's about finished because of weak leadership and on and on and on and on and on. And causing many to lose hope. I wonder if that's what Mary and the disciples felt on that morning, that afternoon when Jesus died on the cross. You know, Jesus died and they had placed all their hope and their faith in him, and he was crucified on the cross. Certainly there must have been a lot of despair as he cried out, "It is finished." Maybe they thought that it was all finished and they were done for. There were probably some within hearing distance that thought his words were a cry of despair, as if he were saying, it's over, Hood. It's over, and the dream has ended. But the truth is, when he cried, it is finished, this was a cry of victory. The phrase can also be translated, paid in full. What did Jesus' death actually pay for? Hallelujah. What did his payment accomplish? Simply put, Jesus' death paid the price for our sins. So when Jesus said it is finished, he was saying, my work is complete. I have done what God sent me to do. I have paid the price for the salvation of humankind. The writer of Hebrews picked up on this thought and said it this way in Hebrews 9:28. Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And later on in Ephesians, Paul said, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. All of this was because of God's grace and his mercy towards us. So the message of the cross is, it is finished. Paid in full, your sins are paid in full. It's like having a rich uncle to pay off your speeding ticket for you. Christ has done it all. He's done all that can be done in order to bring salvation to the world. There's no more that he can do. He's done it all. There's no higher price than he can pay. He's paid it all. The debt has been paid. It is finished. Hallelujah. That's the message of the cross. But we know that the story doesn't end on Friday evening. Amen. After he died, Jesus was placed in a tomb. Then on the morning of the third day, some of his followers came to the tomb to anoint his body with oil. But his body wasn't there. He had been resurrected. Jesus, who was dead on Friday, was now alive on Sunday. And though his death brought a close to his work for salvation, his redemption offered a new chapter in the story of the human experience. Easter morning and the resurrection of Jesus Christ symbolizes what God is wanting to do in the life of each of you and everyone this morning. The message of the cross is, it is finished. The message of Easter morning is, it's just beginning. Through the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have the opportunity for a new life, a new start, a new journey. Today we're looking at a passage of Scripture that talks about the it's just beginning aspect of the Christian life. The passage begins with a verse, I know you've heard it, you may even have it memorized, from 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21. Therefore, says Paul, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This passage gives us three things that make up our new life in Christ. And I want to look at them this morning. In our new relationship with Christ, when we accept Christ, he gives us a new beginning. You might say an empty canvas. You've seen an empty canvas. I've seen some artists, they take a piece of canvas and they start, you know, painting on it and it don't look too good. But when they get through, it's a masterpiece, you know? Paul said, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Nowadays, if you're seeking employment, you're required to submit to a background check. Did you know that? Your past means everything. And it can disqualify you. Could you imagine getting a printout on Paul's record? But from God's perspective, when your life is in Christ, your life is now a clean slate. It is now a blank page. And that's because you have a brand new life in Christ. This happens at salvation, but it doesn't happen only once in your life. It happens every day because we're sinners. Isn't that unfortunate? No, it's fortunate. It happens every day. We're not quick to forgive, but God has forgiven us, praise God. Every day we have this gift of a fresh start. Every day. In Christ, you're not chained to the past. In Christ, you're not required to go through the rest of your life carrying yesterday's baggage. You can leave it behind. You can bury it because it's dead. The old has gone. I know people who've buried old baggage, but they all the time want to go back and dig it up. You know, we need to get rid of the shovel. We need to leave it where it belongs. Because we have the privilege of being able to say, I'm not who I used to be anymore. I'm a new person. And it's all because, not what I've done, but it's because of what God has done through Jesus Christ. Here's an empty canvas principle to keep in mind. It doesn't matter what was true in your life yesterday. It only matters what is true today. Because you've been given a clean slate and a new life. It doesn't matter what sins or behaviors or bad habits you were chained to yesterday. It only matters who you are today. In Christ, you're a new creation. 1 John says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all. It don't matter what that canvas looks like. When Jesus is poured on it, it's fresh, it's clean, it's new, it's purifying. The power of the resurrection means that we have the power to start over, the power to begin anew. And I want you to understand that you don't just get one new start in life. You get as many as you need because God's grace is greater than all of our failed attempts put together. Amen?
Amen.
We've been given an empty canvas, and with God's power at work in our lives, God will use to do his work just like he did with the Apostle Paul and so many others. Glory to God. I can't wait to see what he's going to do in you. The second thing we see here is that we've been given a worthwhile purpose. We need purpose in life, don't we? A worthwhile purpose. You know, a lot of times we have purpose, but a lot of times it's empty. It leads us in the wrong way. We're reminded here in verses 19 and 20 that he's committed to us. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. You know, all y'all are preachers. Two people, all right. He's committed to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. You know who us is?
Us.
Let's think a minute about the message, the ministry, the message of reconciliation. And what a great job we have. God has given us all the same purpose, the opportunity to tell the world that they can be reconciled to God. Years ago, I was in a conference and Steve Brown spoke. He was a preacher, or he still is, and has a radio show and all, but I'll never forget one thing he said. He said, you know, it's real simple. God's blessed me, and what I do is simple. I travel all over the world speaking. I got a radio show this now. He said, my job is so simple. All I have to do is try to convince people that God isn't mad at them. This is our job, too. Most people don't really understand who God is. They don't understand who Jesus is. They don't understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it's our job to help them understand. We exist to love people and tear down the walls that separate us from God and one another. Everything we do is to be about helping people find and follow Jesus. There's nothing else more important in life. And we must understand that we have this new position and this new purpose because of Jesus Christ. He's given it to us. He's told us. He's committed it to us, the message of reconciliation. Paul says we are ambassadors for God's kingdom, and our message is reconciliation. That's easy, isn't it? Not always. Sometimes we can be real difficult, can't we? Two of you, okay. You know, some people are difficult. I don't know how to say it any other way. They are just difficult. And we are too. You know, sometimes that message in reconciliation is kind of like the message of confrontation today, you know? Any of y'all ever had that? Yeah, okay. Or the message of accusation. Anybody ever had that? Accusation, yeah. Or how about the message of condemnation? Yeah, all right. Have you ever tried to bring peace and understanding with someone who lives a life of confrontation and accusation and condemnation? It's tough. But what does Paul tell us? Paul says we have this message that has been committed to us from Almighty God Himself. It's the message of reconciliation. This is God's message and God's work through us. And we need to remember this. We need to speak to other people. Yes, even those that are difficult. Just as if Christ is speaking through us. As if God is using us to make His appeal to the world, because He is. Paul used the word translated as ambassadors. I looked that word up. Man, they had a long definition. But basically, ambassador is an official representative of his or own government or sovereign, or appointed for a special and often diplomatic assignment. Paul says we've been given this assignment, and we're ambassadors of the King, King Jesus. And we have this assignment we must carry out. Now, one lesson I remember from my youth, and it's probably because we were always constantly reminded anytime we went out in public, remember who you represent. Y'all ever been talking about him? Yeah, a few people. All right. What Paul is telling us this morning is that we're to represent Jesus Christ. We're to represent God's kingdom. We're His ambassadors. In church, we need to remember who we represent. Amen? We need to remember, for example, that when we go into a restaurant, especially after a worship service on Sunday, and the service isn't that good and the food isn't that good, we need to be sure that the waiter knows who we represent. Amen? Goes on. Sometimes we don't do it like we should. We need to remember that when we have a conversation with someone who's difficult, or we need to remember that sometimes at work we deal with people, or, you know, sometimes we need to remember when we're dealing with our neighbors or a member of our family. We need to remember that is an opportunity from God to be His ambassador. ambassador of his marvelous grace. And the truth is, we want God to have grace and mercy towards us, but we don't want to do it towards others. And we got it backwards. All right? You have the opportunity to bring the presence of God into someone's life. So take your new position seriously. The message of reconciliation was given to you by God. And God makes his appeal through the world, through you and through me, one person at a time, one encounter at a time, one conversation at a time. Hallelujah. He would even use us. God has given you an empty canvas. And many times we need to give others the grace and the mercy of God and see their life as an empty canvas. And we need to give God the chance to work through us to make a difference in the lives of others, where we are and the places we frequent, to leave the world a better place than we found it, and to leave others better than we found them. Amen?
Amen.
All right, we have this new and needed purpose in God's kingdom, the message of reconciliation. And the third thing that we see here in verse 21, Paul said, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. Wow. Why? So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Man, there's a lot there. The Bible teaches that in his death, Jesus took the payment for our sin. In fact, the Bible goes forward to say that he became sin for us. Somehow, while he was on the cross, somehow all the sins of the world were heaped upon him. Every one of them, past, present, and future. And he paid the price for all of them. Have you ever done something you regretted and you had to pay the price for it? Anybody?
Yes.
What if you had to pay the price for everybody's mistakes in the whole wide world? That's what Jesus did. And just as all of our sin was, the word is called imputed, poured upon him, heaped upon him. Now his righteousness is imputed or poured upon us through Jesus Christ. Now through faith in him, we've been declared righteous before God. This happens at salvation. Your sins are forgiven and you're declared righteous in God's sight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In Romans, Paul said it this way, the righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. I know you know who all is.
All.
And here's the best part. Not only does God declare you righteous in a spiritual sense, he gives you the power to become righteous in a literal sense. I tell you, if we could get this thing right, get this message right, and get it to the hearts of people, they would answer a lot, most of our problems today. We know our laws hadn't. We got more laws than we ever had. And our prisons are running over. We're just poor. We're having to turn out criminals. I mean, people are just in such dire straits today because their purpose is not worthwhile. We live in a chaotic society. There doesn't seem to be any righteousness at all. There's only one who can make us righteous. And that's Almighty God through Jesus Christ. You know why? God loves us and accepts us the way we are. But he loves us far too much to let us stay the way we are. He wants us to become better. And he has the power to make us better. God desires you to become holy. And God wants you to get rid of those habits and behaviors and attitudes, those things that are called sins that sabotage your relationships and destroy your emotional well-being and keep your life always on the verge of disaster. He doesn't want you to live that way. God wants you to live a life filled with his power and his peace and his happiness and his joy. He wants this for you so that you can properly represent him and demonstrate to the world who he is at home and at school and in his community. Church, God declares you righteous and gives you the power to demonstrate righteousness. Amen? God has got big plans for you. The Bible says in Romans 8:29 that you've been predestined to conform to the image of his Son. That's our destiny. God wants to help us. He wants to help you become like Jesus. That's your potential. Wow, that's why Jesus said, you think you've seen me do great things, you just wait until that Holy Spirit comes down on you. So it really doesn't matter what others think of you. It only matters what God can do through you. In the world, you may be just a shepherd boy. To God, you've got the potential to be a king. To the world, you may be just a slave in exile. To God, you have the potential to rebuild a city. To the world, might be a foolish dreamer who spent 40 years running from his failures. To God, you got the potential to lead a nation out of slavery. And we go on and on and on reading through the scriptures to see how God used his people. To the world, you may be from a small, insignificant rural church in Deep Run, North Carolina. You may even feel and be convinced that you're of no useful significance to the kingdom of God. But to God, you got the potential to carry his message of reconciliation to this community, the potential to feed his sheep, the potential to lead people to Jesus, the potential to bring glory to God's name as you practice righteousness and demonstrate it in your life. You've got potential that no one else can see, but God can. He made you. He created you. So don't listen to what others have to say about you. Listen to God. Listen to what God says. God says that you have it in you to become good, to become holy, to become useful, to become like Jesus. That's what God said. Hallelujah. Romans 8, Paul said, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. That's the power of the resurrection at work in the life of a believer. And the truth is, nothing is holding you back except yourself. Because you have been given unlimited potential to become the person that God has created you to be. You have unlimited potential to do all that God has planned to do for you and in you and through you. That's his word. That's his promise, and that's how he works. So in conclusion, maybe you're here today and you desperately need an empty canvas. You're not living the empty canvas life. You're living in the past. You're living with baggage. You need a blank slate. You need an etch-a-sketch. You need... You young people don't know what that is, do you? Etch-a-sketch? Oh, you do? Okay, all right. You need a fresh start. You need to experience the power of God's forgiveness. I want you to know it's available to you. The preacher can't give it to you. The deacons can't give it to you, but God can. Jesus can. You can begin your new life today. You can become the person that God created you to be through the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah, it's just beginning. Father, we thank you today for your word. And it's amazing that you would give us a clean slate. That's what grace, love, and mercy is about. All of it is made possible. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the work that you've given us to do. Work through our lives that we can be true ambassadors for you and live a life of helping others be reconciled to God Almighty. Help us to discover our potentials, our true potentials, as you work in our lives, that we can be a great asset in the work of your kingdom. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's all turn to 602, stand and sing verses 1 and 2 of I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.
It's been good to see you and worship with you this morning. Thanks for coming, bringing the spirit of worship. Carry that spirit with you of the Lord out into the world as ambassadors for Almighty God. Anybody have anything to say before we leave? Holding it all in till you get out there, eh? All right. Have a good week, and we'll see you this evening at 5 for our general board meeting. Chris, would you dismiss us, please?
Lord, we come to you now, preparing to go out into the world to be your ambassador to all those we come in contact with. We do thank you for your Son who died on the cross for our sake. And we ask for the knowledge, we ask for the skills, but most of all, Lord, we ask for the desire as we go forth to be your light into the world, to guide others to know you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.